dwelling at home, the church has the opportunity to have 50% occupancy, and that means in this building and in St. Anthony's, 300 people, and we've got it set up so you can do that comfortably as well. I'm just so grateful for everybody that's here tonight. You're going to hear an incredible word from Pastor Aaron tonight. How many of you just appreciate her and her heart? I want to share with you just for a moment. I want to talk to you about giving tonight. I had made a declaration and I had prayed this at the beginning of when all the coronavirus took place. I felt the Lord lay on my heart one day that there'll be no losses. And I'm just so grateful to know that many people, I don't obviously know everybody's situation, but I know many that have told me that God has been faithful to them through this time in an extraordinary way. And I'm thankful that. Aren't you grateful for that? Come on. Even if you haven't seen it, you should be grateful. Come on. Let's be grateful together. I want to just give you a couple scriptures. I want you to think about this. I want you to ponder this tonight. Because this just doesn't happen. There is a spiritual mechanism when it comes to our giving and what God does in return. Even when you don't have much to give. Let me read this scripture in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 2. He says, in the midst of a very severe trial, sound familiar? Their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. He said, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the Lord's people. Come on. When we give tonight, it's a privilege. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord. And that's where it all starts. You have to give yourself first to the Lord. And then by the will of God, also to us. And then I just want to encourage you, that how are you using what God has given to you already? In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 9, those who want to get rich fall in temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. And I said this a couple weeks ago. He said, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Not money. It's the love of it. It's when something, you allow money to connect to you in a way that you love it more than you love God. Nobody is amening me here tonight. He said, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And then the last that I want to just share with you, that you are a steward of what you have. You don't own anything. Sorry to bring that news to you tonight. I said you don't own anything. If you don't believe that, I will take you and introduce you to some of my good friends who are funeral directors, and they will show you that when you leave this earth, you know you own nothing. Luke 16:10, whoever can be trusted with a little, listen to this now, can be trusted with much. But whoever is dishonest with a very little, he'll be dishonest with a lot. God sees the ability of our lives to be a steward of what he has entrusted to each one of us. And I want you to think about that tonight. Not just for tonight. I want you to ponder this as you go forth. More than halfway through 2020, one of the most difficult years of many people's lives. But I'm going to tell you, to the man or to the woman that trusts in the Lord and obeys him in this area, no losses. Honey, amen on that? Honey, I want to hear a big amen. Amen. She got a testimony she could tell you, but if she told you, some of you would get jealous with her. Let's give to the Lord tonight. See the different ways up on the screen. You can text to 77977, the word The City Church NY. You can use an envelope and drop it in one of those white boxes at the back of the sanctuary. You can use the PushPay app. You can go to our website, thecitychurch.com, or you can drop it in the mail to City Church 210 East Main, Batavia, New York, 14020. I want to pray for you tonight. We don't take up an offering here anymore, but I want to pray for you as you ponder this. And as you ask God to allow this to be a part of your life, I pray that in the next 6 months of 2020, that you will see something supernatural happen in your life as a result of this. Let's pray. Father, tonight, we honor you. Not just tonight, though, God. We step into a new season in our lives where we're going to trust you in a greater way and believe you to do what you said that you could do. We don't put our trust in chariots and horses, but we will depend on the name of the Lord our God. Lord, I pray favor over every life tonight. Those that are here, those that are watching, did you use them? And you would bless them. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Come on, and everybody said a big amen. Pastor Ryan, come on up. Give Pastor Ryan a big God bless you as well.
That was great, Dad. Amen. That was a good word. Thank you for sharing that. I begin to just spend some time with the Lord this week. How's your Bible reading plans going? How you making out on that? Doing great. Graham, Linda, you're like 45 days ahead in our Bible reading plan. I keep trying to catch up with you, and it's just not happening. So my dad said, you're never going to. I want to read something to you that we read quite a ways ago, but it came back to me, and I just began to ponder it. Genesis 48 says this in verse 15, and I love these words. It says, then he blessed Joseph and said, may the God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, you ever heard the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? This is Jacob speaking. May the God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walked faithfully. The God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm. How many of you believe that for your life? He's going to deliver you from all harm. May he bless you. May he bless these boys. I love that. I have two boys. He's declaring right now, he's declaring a blessing over two grandsons. He goes on to say this, may they be called by my name and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and may they increase greatly on this earth. And as you continue reading, if you know the scripture, they were... This blessing that Jacob began to declare over these two young men, these two sons of Joseph. Joseph had a pretty rough run. You know the story. He sold into slavery. How many of you know the story? His brothers weren't too fond of him. Dad began to speak about jealousy. His brothers were kind of jealous of him. Continued on. He sold and... He lives this honorable life, though. Even in moments of affliction, even in moments of heartache, even in moments of just tough times, he lives this life of honor, forgiveness, and love. Goes on, and you know the story. He begins to serve a house, and he's pointed the finger at, and he did this, and he did that, ends up in jail. God's hand still on his life. You can even sense the attitude that he carries in the scripture. Keeps his head held high. Keeps on loving people. Keeps on forgiving. He even keeps right in the jail cell. He keeps serving God. goes on. He begins to be the leader over all Egypt, second in command. The king said, whatever he says goes. He's running the show here. And he gets this opportunity to really get a dig in. He gets this opportunity, he gets this chance to really pay somebody back. And you know the story, you know the storyline. He walks in such forgiveness. He walks in such grace and humility and kindness. He even blesses people, not just in his family that kind of did him wrong, but he blesses not only the nation that he's living in, he blesses those beyond the borders of Egypt. They all come to him. They come to see him because they're in great lack. And Joseph does what we should do. He's a blessing to them. The scripture comes to say that his father is about to die. He calls him to his bedside. He said, Joseph, come and see me. And I just read this great blessing that not only Jacob as a father pronounces over a son, but over two grandchildren. Not only Jacob pronounces this blessing, but God himself pronounces this blessing over these grandsons. It's just an interesting fact. There's 12 tribes of Judah, and each one of the sons of Jacob, they're in charge. They're ordained by heaven to lead these charges. But that'd be great if there was just 10 tribes. There's 12 tribes. Because at Jacob's death, he pronounces a lifelong blessing over those two grandsons. And they reap what the father sowed. And I just want to speak to you tonight. Maybe you've made some wrong turns. Maybe you've made some bad choices. Maybe people have just, they've taken advantage of you. They've thrown you in the pit. They've lied about you. Maybe life has just been difficult. Maybe you say, Pastor Marty, that's great for you. Corona has been absolute hell for me. I want to tell you tonight, when a man's ways please the Lord, when you begin to walk in the likeness and in the glory of God the Father, there are blessings that come. My dad shares about giving. We're so blessed. God has blessed us so much. And I want to sow to you again tonight. Maybe you're watching from home. You say, this has been just a tough time. I want to encourage you tonight. Sow. I want to encourage you tonight to love. I want to encourage you tonight to forgive when they don't even deserve it. How many of you have been there before? They didn't even deserve it. Give that love. Give that forgiveness. And I also want to encourage you in one last thing. I want you to read the story of Joseph and just study his character. If you want that character, just lift your hand tonight. Father, give us your character. Let us walk in your way. We're thankful for people tonight like my mom and dad. We're thankful for people like Chuck and Cheryl, even before Aaron comes. We're thankful for them. Thank you that they served in your house and that they've forgiven even when people didn't deserve it. That they've loved when people didn't even deserve it. That they continue to sow even in the troubling, turbulent times. Thank you tonight for those pillars in this place. Thank you for great love, your great kindness, your great affection in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you welcome tonight one of the greatest pastors you'll ever meet? Come on, give Pastor Aaron a big God bless you.
To get situated here. I'm so thankful to be a part of this body of believers. I really, really am. Every time I come up and speak, I just think about just the family that we have here and just how kind everybody is. And we've really seen some just spiritual growth throughout the past few months. And we believe that God is really working and doing something among everyone, among our community, among, you know, this area. And I'm so honored to be not only just sharing with you, but, you know, with the leadership that we have and the pastors that we have. And that's a good thing, right? Amen. Don't you believe that? Aren't you thankful for that? I certainly am. Well, tonight, this stems actually from a text message that I was having with one of my very good friends. We were going back and forth about everything that was going on and just a little honestly frustrated and confused about our particular businesses that we have and just trying to understand and navigate through everything and the protocols and all of that stuff. And just, again, going back and forth like friends do, talking it out. But by the end of the text, just holding on to the truth that, okay, we're going to trust God. No matter what, we're going to keep on believing. And that was literally how we ended the text. And so this whole message actually comes from that text, right? So we're going to play a game really quick. One round. I'm sure you already see it coming already. So I'm going to start the song, and you're going to finish the phrase of the song. There are two rules. Sing loud and proud, and don't leave me hanging. Okay, Sarah, Malachi, don't leave me hanging. Are you ready? I'm serious. Okay, ready? Don't stop believing. All right. Give yourselves a hand. All right. Yes, I thought of that song and have been singing it pretty much all day. It was kind of funny because Samantha, after we sent the text to the city church, I wrote Don't Stop Believing, and she's like, yes, journey song. And like, it was just kind of funny. So we are going to read from Mark chapter 9. We're going to be reading an encounter that Jesus has with somebody from verses 14 to 29. And I am going to read out of my Bible today because I didn't feel like copying and pasting onto my iPad. However, I am now regretting that because when you turn 40, things get very small on the page. And so next time I'm copying and pasting. So I do own a Bible just so everyone knows, but that is usually why I have my iPad. All right. So Mark chapter 9, verse 14, we're going to start there. When they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them, and some teachers of religious law were arguing with them. When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. "What is all this arguing about?" Jesus asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I have brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it." Jesus said to them, "You faithless people, how long must I put up with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." How long must I be with you? Sorry. So they brought the boy. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. "How long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, "Since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can." "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked. "Anything is possible if a person believes." The father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. "Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak," he said, "I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again." Then the spirit screamed, threw the boy into a violent convulsion, and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as the people said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this night. I thank you for this moment. God, I just ask that you would just use the words. God, just speak through me. Open up our hearts, our minds, our ears and whatever it is that you would want us to hear tonight, that we would hear it. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't stop believing. So we're going to look at, so we just read that story, and we're going to go over that story, because I believe that when we read something, it's important to keep going over it to get it into our hearts, right? But right before this happened, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the mountain. Read chapter 9 in Mark. You have a lot of reading to do. Joseph, chapter 9 in Mark. But read this chapter, because right before this happened, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the mountain. And on the mountain, these guys saw heaven come down to this mountain. Jesus was transformed. It says he was white as bleach, is what my Bible says, the NLT version. And so these disciples, the three of them, witnessed this. Elijah came down, Moses came down, and they were like awestruck, right? And so Peter starts making these claims, and God says to him, listen, this is my child, Jesus, do what he says. And then everything went away. So they're going back down the mountain, and of course these guys have questions, right? And so Jesus just says, just don't tell anyone about what we just saw. Okay, don't tell anyone. You'll see it happen when the Son of Man comes back to life. So, of course, they have questions and what it goes on, okay? So what I was thinking about, though, is that these guys just come down from a mountaintop experience, right? I mean, they're in awe. They're just like, wow, like we were just with Jesus. And then they walk into a real earthly situation, okay? And so what I thought about is they couldn't focus so much on what they had just experienced. Otherwise, they would miss the opportunity that was in front of them. And how many times do we have that mountaintop experience where we see Jesus, we know who, you know, he's speaking to us and what that thing is going to come to pass. However, we can't always stay up on the mountaintop because otherwise we're going to miss what Jesus wants us to learn right now. This is going to happen, but we need to learn what Jesus wants us to learn right now. So here Jesus enters the scene, and the crowd and religious teachers are arguing, right? So, of course, being Jesus, he says, what are you guys arguing about? And so the father explains, I brought my child to be healed, but the disciples couldn't cast out the demon. So here we face a story of a man desperately wanting his son to be healed, and the disciples were unable to do it. And so Jesus gets a little upset here. He says, you faithless generation, how long do I have to put up with you? That's pretty bold. For years. Then he says, how long has the boy been like this? Because the boy just, when he said that, the boy started going crazy again, right? And so he says, how long has he been like this? For years, the boy says. And this I love. If you can, he says again. If you can. He looked at the man and says, if I can, and I know I just read it, but again, I want it in our hearts. Anything is possible for those who believe. And he says, I do believe. Help my unbelief. See, the problems that we see within this encounter is unbelief and lack of faith. And the first thing that struck me was we need a faith check. This lonely father is struggling not only for the life of his son, but also for the existence of his own faith. Hear me out. You see, he brought the boy to the disciples. To do that, he had to have some sort of faith that something was going to happen, right? You wouldn't want to bring your son out if he kept being possessed by a demon, right? No. So you hear, okay, Jesus is here. The disciples are here. They can help me. So he had to have some sort of faith, some sort of belief to get this boy out of the house and bring him to where Jesus was. But when the disciples couldn't cast out the demon, you can sense the faith of the father almost fall a little bit. He went from confidence to crisis really fast, right? And the crowd and the religious people didn't help. They never do. They started arguing over the validity. My Siri just went on. Okay. They started arguing over the validity of who and what Jesus could do. My question is, how often do we let our faith fall a little bit when we don't see something we thought God was going to do? Well, God, I thought there was going to be a healing. I thought this would be over by now. I thought this was going to go way different than it is. And little by little, sometimes our faith begins to fall. Sometimes our belief gets smaller and smaller. But then Jesus opens their eyes to what everyone was sensing. He makes everyone there do a faith check. He says, "You faithless people." See, if I was there, I'd be like, "Who's he talking to? Faithless people," right? Now, some scholars believe that Jesus was talking to the crowd. Some scholars believe that he was talking specifically to the disciples, while some scholars believe they were all over the board, that he was talking to the Father. But we can all agree that everyone there heard Jesus say that, right? So all the ears heard Jesus say, "You faithless people." I thought of a checkpoint in a car race. No, I've never been, but I have watched the movie Cars a lot. When Malachi was young, we probably watched it 500 times. And my daughter and my mom actually play Mario Kart. Any Mario Kart racers out there? No? Okay. So what I notice is that when Addison goes through the checkpoint, it tells her how fast she's going, right? And then she can adjust how fast she needs to go. And so a faith check is simply an adjustment in how we are trusting God. I ask myself, am I faithless? Would Jesus want to be around me if he could actually choose right now? Would he say to me, "You faithless generation"? We need a faith check. Where's your faith? And any weakness in our faith should be a reminder to trust God's strength. When we are weak, he is strong. And if we're weak in our faith, we can know that he is strong and we can go to him. Because the issue is not the power of God. The issue is usually our faith. The issue wasn't that Jesus couldn't heal this boy. The issue was the lack of faith, he says. So we need a faith check. The second thing I thought of is our unbelief should never stop us from approaching God. The Father's words just stung so deep in my heart, honestly, when I read it. He says, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." Because from the outside looking in, years later when we read this, it appears that the only thing preventing the man's son from being healed is his faith. And the fact is that this father realizes it, and he wants to express faith, but at the same time, he wants to be genuine. He wants to be real. And so I guess that's why I was drawn to that, because I love genuine people. I love just real, authentic. Melissa, you're just a genuine person, and I love that. Right? I love that about people. But he recognizes it in the moment. He says, "I do believe, but help my unbelief. I may not be all the way there, but I want to be." He recognizes that he needed a faith check in that moment, that his faith was far from perfect, but he wants more of it. He knows he needs more of it. The CEV version puts it like this: "I do have faith. Please help me have even more." So he asked for more. He simply said, "I need more. Help me have more faith. Please help my unbelief." See, we can't allow our lack of unbelief stop us from asking God to help us. We should never get so prideful to ask God for help. We can't ever get so discouraged that we don't talk to God. We can't ever get so angry that we don't turn to him, that we don't reach out to him. We can't let doubt distract us from talking and to Jesus and who Jesus is. He says, "Help my unbelief." God has what you need. He has the exact amount of faith that you need. He has the exact amount of trust that we need to get to the next level. God's got it. Ask him for it. The Bible says, "Ask and you will find. Knock and the door will be open." He says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." Don't let doubt ever get in the way of asking God for help. Say to him, "Help my unbelief. I do believe, but help my unbelief. I want more faith." And then it happens. You see, Jesus recognizes that small grain of faith that that father has in that moment. He sees the earnest heart. And Jesus casts that demon out of the boy. He says, "Don't ever enter him again." And he falls to the ground. He starts going crazy again. And then all of a sudden, stillness. And everyone is standing and watching. The boy seemed dead. Number three, Jesus always brings a fresh touch. You see, sometimes when the miracle in our life happens, things kind of even out a little bit. Or sometimes when we see God working, it's almost like this calmness, this stillness, like, whoa, it happened. Now what? See, the others might not see it right away. They thought the boy was dead. And I can just picture it now. There he is on the ground, and everyone's like looking over, and then all of a sudden, he's dead. Jesus may have cast out the demon, but the boy's dead now. Look what he did. Going back to the validity of who Jesus was, right? And so the crowd's starting to talk. But look what Jesus did. Stillness. There's stillness. Thought he was dead. He goes over, picks up the boy by the hand. The boy stands up, and he walks away. The boy needed the touch of Jesus. There are dreams in your life that you thought have died, but you just need the touch of Jesus. There are things in your life that you thought you were going to achieve, but you just need the touch of Jesus. There are things and places that you wanted to go, things that you wanted to do that you thought were over, but you just need the touch of Jesus. God is saying to you tonight, I have you. It's not done. Your life is not over. He's reaching out his hand and he's saying, come on, get up. Let's go. You're not dead. It's not over. The past is in the past. We're going to keep moving forward. Jesus brings a fresh touch. The fourth thing, don't stop believing. So, you know when you have a meeting, there's usually the meeting before the meeting, and then the after meeting to see how the meeting went? So Jesus and the disciples had a little after meeting. When they walk away, the disciples were really confused. They said, Jesus, why couldn't we cast that demon out? And he looks at them and he says, these can only be done by prayer and fasting. In Matthew, we get a little deeper description of what was said. In Matthew, it says that he replied, because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Our faith will determine our experience of the supernatural. If we have faith the size of a mustard seed, you guys know how small that is? Our faith will determine our experience of the supernatural. Their faith was too small. It said it right there. He says your faith was too small. What is it that you're believing? Do you believe? Do you have faith? Do you feel you have it, but you still allow doubt to enter in? See, life is full of things that we can't see. But we need more than eyes to see what matters. We need to believe. Because believing is seeing. What you believe determines what you will see, and that determines what you will experience in the supernatural. Don't stop believing. So we like to ride bikes as a family, and this year Addison is finally on her own bike. She's not in a chair. She's not in the tandem bike. She's finally riding her own bike, and we go for a bike ride sometimes as a family. And so when you ride a bike, you know that you encounter some hills, right? And those hills, we've been up some crazy hills, hills that we can't even go up sometimes. But think about riding your bike. You're going up a hill. And then when you get to the top and you get to go down the hill, I don't know about you, but I'm like, yes, I'm going to just coast down this hill. And so we were riding bikes a couple weeks ago, and Ben said something to Addison. And to him, it was just a natural conversation, but, you know, I don't know if it's the preacher in me. I was like, ooh, that's good. I'm going to use that. So he looks at Addison. We're going down the hill because we've been trying to teach her, like, go up, but you can, you know, it's going to be good on the way down. Like, trust us. And so she's coasting along, and about three quarters down the hill, way down the hill, he looks over at her and he says, start peddling now. And she says, but I'm good. Like, and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm good too. I don't want to peddle yet. You know, I haven't reached the next hill. But he says, if you start peddling now, it's going to be easier on the way up. And I was like, oh, you don't even know what you just said. We have to keep peddling. Even though it's maybe God's like, you're good and you're in a good spot with God, right? You can't stop. You can't stop doing what you are doing. You can't stop reading. You can't stop praising. You can't stop seeking. Just because we're in a good spot, you have to keep peddling. You see, do you know in a few chapters before we encounter this, the disciples were casting out demons? They had already done it. So what happened in this chapter? He said, you have to keep your faith. You have to keep believing. You have to keep praying. You can't stop. We have to keep doing it. When we don't understand, we keep believing. When we have questions, we keep believing. When we're frustrated, we keep believing. When we're in a really good spot with God, we keep believing. We keep peddling. We keep moving. We keep believing. Don't stop believing. It's like God gives us a gift. What do we have to do? We have to stir it up. God gives us a calling. We have to go after it. God gives us faith. We have to activate it. The Bible says that he's given us all a measure of faith. We have to activate that faith. We have to keep believing. We can't stop believing. It's not a one-time thing. We have to keep working at it. So number one, we have to do a faith check. Where's our faith at? Number two, don't let doubt keep you from asking and seeking God. Number three, Jesus provides a fresh touch in our lives. And number four, don't stop believing. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word, God. God, help our unbelief. God, give us more faith, God, so that we're able to walk and to do what you have called us to do, God. Help us to keep believing, God, and help us to never stop trusting and believing in you. We thank you for your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Miracles when you move, such an easy thing for you to do. Your hand is moving right now. You're still showing up at the tomb of every Lazarus. Your voice is calling me out. And right now, I know you're able. And my God, come through again. You can do all things. You can do all things but fail. Cause you never lost a battle. No, you never lost a battle. I know you never will. Everything's possible by the power of the Holy Ghost. New wind is blowing right now. Breaking my heart of stone, taking over like it's Jericho. My walls are all crashing in. And right now, I know you're able. And my God, come through again. You can do all things. You can do all things but fail. Cause you never lost a battle. No, you never lost a battle. I know you never will. You can do all things. You can do all things but fail. never lost a battle. No, you never lost a battle. I know, you never will. Never lost a battle. No, you never lost a battle. You never lost a battle. You never will. You never lost a battle. No, you never lost a battle. You never lost a battle. You never will. You never lost a battle. You never lost a battle. You never lost a battle. You never will. You can do all things. You can do all things but fail. Cause you never lost a battle. No, you never lost a battle. I know you never will.
Come on, give the Lord a praise tonight. Give him a praise. Hey, I just want to say how thankful we are for Aaron, Pastor Aaron sharing the word tonight. Will you give her one more hand? That was a great word. That was great. Aren't you thankful for Kai and his grandparents as well? They might have a little bit to do with tonight. A little bit. How many of you felt it tonight when Pastor Aaron said, sometimes you need just another touch from Jesus? The story of Peter came to me so quickly. Jesus was at the Last Supper, and he's having that conversation, that meeting after the meeting after the meeting. And he's telling Peter, you're going to deny me. He's trying to lead him. He's trying to mentor him in that moment. And you might feel like tonight, you might feel like you've walked down a pathway of denying the Lord, maybe walking away from the Lord. You said tonight, I need that touch. I felt a draw from heaven when she began to declare that in this place tonight. Jesus is crucified. He's risen. And the thing he says, go tell my disciples and Peter. And I want to tell you tonight, you might feel like you've drifted, you've gone far from God tonight. He'll touch you once again. If that's you tonight, just lift your hand in the house here. Father, we ask for that great touch. We ask for that great moving of the Holy Spirit that was declared in this place tonight. We just say thank you for it. Father, we even ask for the ministry here for a fresh touch from heaven, a fresh glory from heaven to be displayed and declared in this place, and we'll give you every bit of thanks for it. For those that lifted their hand all over this place, we say thank you, Father, that those are turning to you tonight, even as Peter wept with sorrow because of what he's done tonight. Father, we even declare that those that have turned to you tonight with their hand lifted high, Father, that your hand would be on them in a great way. Would you touch them tonight, Lord? And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you are grateful for the house tonight? Come on, give the Lord one more praise. Hey, we're so thankful for you at home. We're so thankful that you joined us tonight. Sunday, my dad has an amazing word from the Lord for us. Sunday morning, 8:30, 10 a.m. and 12 noon. God bless you. Thank you for being with us tonight. Come see us soon.